There is more to reality than meets a normal eye. Behind the curtain of everyday consciousness is hidden another unutterably strange mental universe.
The remarkable effects of LSD were discovered by accident in Switzerland during the Second World War. Albert Hofmann was then a young chemist working in the laboratories of Sandoz, a large pharmaceutical company. On the 16th of April, 1943, he was in his laboratory preparing a fresh batch of a compound he'd first synthesized 5 years before. It was lysergic acid diethylamide, LSD. Feeling increasingly unwell, Hofmann was obliged to return home. It was wartime. He went by bicycle. As the journey progressed, the external world began to look stranger and stranger.
Mystical experiences. At the end of the synthesis, I got in a very strange psychic situation. A kind of dream world appeared.
Could it be that this pleasant, dreamlike state was in some way connected with the crystals of LSD that Albert Hofmann was purifying that afternoon? He'd certainly not eaten any, but his fingers might possibly have brushed against a few traces of the compound. If so, then LSD was a remarkably potent drug. He decided to experiment on himself.
Being a cautious man, I thought I would start with the smallest quantity, which even could have any effect. Namely, I started with 0.25 milligrams. Kind of dream world appeared. But this very small dose, the first dose of my experiments I planned, was very, very strong.
Kind of dream world appeared.
Good for you, Albert.
Thank you.
this, I got in a very strange psychic situation. Kind of dream world appeared.
The spirit of the lysergic acid molecule. Good for you, Albert. As Mr. LSD, I'm very happy.
Around and threw it out. run over your tonsils and slither down your throat. It just stays warm inside your stomach for a long, long time. And I get off on it.
Health centers and psychiatric wards rapidly filling with acid heads who crack up following bad trips or an inability to assimilate the LSD experience are already a fact. One out of every six admissions at the UCLA Neuropsychiatric Institute is attributed to LSD. Dr. Thomas Ungerleiter, resident psychiatrist at that facility, reports their symptoms upon arrival.
They may be severely depressed with suicidal tendencies or have made very serious suicide attempts. They may be confused, wandering about, not knowing where they are. They may be hallucinating, that is, hearing voices or seeing things. Or they may be extremely anxious to the point of panicking.
Reports of such unfortunate trips do little to deter most users. They go right on experimenting with LSD, waiting for psychedelic lightning to strike. More often, they're swayed by extraordinary experiences related to them by their friends. Here's one such recollection, told by a young insurance company employee.
Wow, it's really not. I mean, I came out of the shower jumping around telling everybody how groovy it was to take a shower. And it was like, well, it was like being under a thunderstorm with great big drops of rain, because you could really feel the water coming. And you could just, it almost felt, this is weird, it almost felt like you could feel you pour like, sopping up the water, you know, your whole body was just like, like a great big sponge, you know, and it was like a massage. It was so groovy, you can't believe how groovy it was. It wasn't just water hitting you, taking a shower, soap, and out you go, you know, towel off. It was just, oh wow. You know, it was like a caress. And you could really feel the hot and the cold. You could feel hot and cold, you know, and each little drop that came out was a different one. You know, I don't think the water must mix inside. It must come out hot and cold or something, because you could feel hot, cold water. It was really groovy. I guess the word for it is it was sensual. You know, just your body just, oh, it grooves, you know. It was really neat.
A teenager noted how much LSD she consumed on her last trip.
Well, it was 15 drops of a concentrate of 400 micrograms a drop. And I know it wasn't good because it immediately hit my spine. I was in sheer agony. It was tapping my spinal fluid.
The girl's answer underlines the abject ignorance of many users. LSD cannot possibly tap the spinal fluid. A 19-year-old expresses her feelings.
Well, I never think of when I'm 20, when I'm 21, I think tomorrow. Or this minute. I hope there's tomorrow. Because I don't like what's going on in the world. I'm scared of that. More than drugs. I'm not afraid of anyone. I'm just scared, you know? Everybody is. Pretty uptight.
My notion of what the psychedelic experience is for is that we each must become like fishermen and go out onto the dark ocean of mind and let your nets down into that sea. And what you're after is not some behemoth that will tear through your nets, foul them, and drag you and your little boat, you know, into the abyss, nor are what we're looking for a bunch of sardines that can slip through your net and disappear. Ideas like, have you ever noticed that your little finger exactly fits your nostril? And stuff like that. What we're looking for are middle-sized ideas that are not so small that they're trivial, and not so large that they're incomprehensible. And take them out to the coast and shore and have fish dinner. And every one of us, when we go into the psychedelic state, this is what we should be looking for.
It's not for your
by the absence of good ideas. Our world is in crisis because of the absence of consciousness. And so, to whatever degree any one of us can bring back a small piece of the picture and contribute it to the building of a paradigm, then you participate in the human spirit. And that, after all, is what it's really all about.
This time.
Just what is LSD?
The hallucinogenic drug that destroys reasoning capabilities of the mind. We do not profess to know all of the legal or moral aspects to the subject. We'll give you a better insight into the strange and terrifying world of LSD. Remember these important points. Under LSD, sights and sounds are many times unreal. Movements often uncontrollable. Things that one thinks he does while under the influence of LSD are not necessarily the same things that are actually being performed by that person. His sense of reasoning is altered. Yet to one under LSD, he feels that his timing, judgment, and reasoning are extraordinary and far above that of mere mortals. A question arises. What does one under the influence of LSD hear, see, and do? We are about to take you into the world of the LSD user. A world that to him is real, yet as terrifying and unreal as anything ever imagined.
LSD's all right.
Just keep thinking happy thoughts. I hate for this to turn into a bad trip.
Uh-oh.
It's that scary music.
I had an unhappy thought.
It's a bad trip.
Bad trip, bad trip.
June 1951, a top-secret CIA memo expressed the need to explore, quote, scientific methods for controlling the minds of individuals.
In a posh New York City apartment, offers her client a cocktail before having sex with him. What the man doesn't know is that his drink has been laced with LSD and that the entire encounter is being recorded on film. These are not scenes made up in the mind of a novelist or a screenwriter. They are recreations of actual events, examples of top-secret mind control experiments funded by the United States government.
This is way out of the realm of fiction or supposition or conspiracy theory or speculation. This is absolutely documented.
The goal of these experiments is to determine if the human mind can be controlled using outside forces, drugs, electroshock, and hypnosis. It is a top secret program that reaches terrifying heights in the 1950s and 1960s.
Don't you think of anything but...
Agencies were quite afraid that they were being left behind by what they considered a more sophisticated advance that the Soviets had gotten on those techniques.
The newly formed CIA begins to study ways to control the mind. The clandestine projects are given code names such as Project Bluebird and Project Artichoke.
The CIA had a division for the Technical Services Division, or Technical Services, whose job was to provide the support for operations. I mean, in a James Bond movie, this is what Q used to do. It was to provide the gadgets. If you needed sleeping powder or an itching powder or something like that, this is what they did. They did chemicals, they did biologicals, they did disguises, they did electronics, writing, and the like. And if there was a drug, and if there was a drink at a party, made the first samples tell all their secrets, that was something that the Technical Services Division would experiment in.
He immediately launches a full-scale investigation into the uses of a little-known hallucinogen called LSD.
It seemed to be a drug that could unlock the mysteries of the mind.
The first CIA-funded LSD experiments are done on paid student volunteers who know they are getting an experimental drug.
CIA was paying for college students to be tested, and the word got around at Harvard Square that you could be paid $25 for the day to be a happy schizophrenic.
Volunteers are also solicited at a federal prison hospital in Lexington, Kentucky. Incarcerated drug addicts are rewarded with their drug of choice in exchange for their participation in the first prolonged LSD experiments.
They did give LSD to one prisoner for, I believe, 80 straight days. What they wanted to see was what was the effect of prolonged testing on somebody. And it's just unbelievable that they could have done that.
However, the CIA is concerned that the test results aren't clear because the volunteers knew they were receiving a hallucinogenic substance.
They thought that if they were going to give this drug to a Soviet under field conditions, it was obviously going to work better if the Soviet didn't know that he was receiving this drug.
So in order to do unwitting operations, you needed to do unwitting testing. And the CIA cast around, who should we do the testing on?
The CIA's first solution
is to have its workers sniff LSD to each other.
Incidents where somebody would have their morning coffee and would get some LSD in it.
Now, 7 months into testing the drug, MKUltra director Sidney Gottlieb and his second-in-command, Robert Lashbrook, bring LSD to a joint CIA Army Special Operations retreat at Fort Detrick, Maryland. They tell no one at the retreat what they plan to do.
These CIA people after dinner put LSD into Cointreau in a dinner liqueur that was given to all the people present. One of the Army guys, Dr. Frank Olson, had a very, very bad trip. What we call now bad trip, that word, that language didn't exist. He lost it. He thought he was, he'd gone over the edge. He couldn't get back. And for whatever reason, he was not able to become who he had been before.
Olson is never told. Is LSD. And because the unwitting victim is part of a top secret experiment, Gottlieb and Lashbrook take charge of him themselves.
Instead of taking the guy to a hospital or taking him to see a psychiatrist who could help him understand what had happened to him, Gottlieb and Lashbrook took him to New York and consulted with an allergist who happened to be receiving CIA funding to play with LSD himself.
This is not responsible behavior, and the outcome was predictable.
On September 24th, 1953, just 5 days after drinking the LSD-laced Cointreau, Robert Lashbrook reports waking up at 5:30 a.m., just in time to see Frank Olson crash through the 10th floor window of their New York hotel room at a dead run. It will be more than 20 years before Olson's widow learns that her husband was, in fact, killed by government LSD experiments.
Hey, what was that shit, man?
You just did the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life.
Hey, man, I never had no acid before, man.
Please, I hope you're not busy for about a month.
Shit, I'm gonna die, man. That stuff's gonna make me die, man.
Yeah, no, that's good acid.
Hey, man, I never had it before, man. That's gonna make me die. Well, it's gonna make me freak out, man. Yeah, I've seen those guys walk around my neighborhood. I've seen many acid, man. Those guys look like a pumpkin.
Better now, man?
Yeah.
You mellow?
Yeah.
You feel all right, huh?
It is a drug so powerful that for a brief time during the 1960s, it shakes the very foundation of society. It spawns the summer of love, fuels revolt in the streets, and its main disciple, Timothy Leary, is labeled the most dangerous man in America. Nearly everyone who comes in contact with it is deeply affected.
LSD will, without a doubt, without a shadow of doubt, whatever else you will say about it, will change completely a person's worldview forever. it will never be the same again, whether the experience was positive or negative.
Those innocent fun games of the hallucination generation.
You know there's something happening, but you don't know what it is.
My name is Miriam, and I'm 16. Well, see, I've been up on acid 40 times.
The hippie revolt. It'll blow your mind. Come join the world of the hipsters, the beatniks, the sicknicks. Reach out for frenzied fantasies, debauched dreams, bizarre sensualities.
The white poppy, the cactus, the sacred mushroom. Why should they be different? Because they are.
Hallucination generation. The experimenters who try anything, stopping only at the outer edge of nowhere.
In 1960, CIA-funded researchers at the Menlo Park Hospital in California were paying students $40 a day to take LSD. One volunteer was Ken Kesey, psychedelic folk hero, author of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and today, a farmer in Oregon.
You were in a little room pretty much by yourself. There was a window with wire grating on it, and through that window, you could look out and see a lot of people out there who understood a whole lot more what you were going through than these doctors. And my metaphor for the thing was, it's as though these people had discovered a room. They thought there was something in that room of value to them. But they didn't want to go in there, so they hired students to go in there. After enough of those students came out with a wild look in their eye, they said, close up that room and don't let anybody else go back in that room. And that's when I found that my key fit the doctor's office and decided that this was too important for business to leave in the hands of the government.
Awed by the power of the drug, Kesey began to distribute it to his friends. Across America, LSD was leaking out of the laboratory.
B, lysergic acid, diethylamide, LSD. It is colorless, tasteless, odorless. Known as acid, a single ounce is capable of producing 300,000 so-called trips. That's LSD. That's acid.
A new way of living. I gotta find a new way of life. I gotta find a new way of living. Dropping a chair.
To get back to the warning that I've received, you may take it with however many grains of salt you wish, that the brown acid that is circulating around us is not specifically too good. It's suggested that you do stay away from that. Of course, it's your own trip, that'd be my guess, but please be advised that there is a warning on that one, okay?
For as much
as it has pleased Almighty God of his great mercy to take unto himself the soul of our brothers here departed, we therefore commit their bodies to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Life with wonderful friends, and I want my friends and I to plan a great going away party.
Are you gonna kill yourself?
Yes.
The concept of death is something that people do not want to face. And the doctors and the priests and the politicians have made it to something terrible, 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 so that you're a victim. If you accept the notion of death, that word, you signed up to be the ultimate victim.
Well, because death is such a taboo, is that why you announced publicly that you have inoperable prostate cancer?
Yes.
Indicate an upswing for you, so if you have had doubts, relax. Your fears have no foundation in fact, so your attitude should change to a much more positive outlook immediately.
As long as I don't drop any acid while I'm pregnant. If LSD won't kill my chromosomes, the pollution in the air and water will. So what's the difference?
The difference is we're talking about two different things. We know that if we don't take LSD, we won't damage your chromosomes. All scientists know that it's too soon to know exactly what the damage will be, especially to your children and your children's children.
The water and air pollution are killing us anyway.
Well, that could be, but I don't agree that we should just sit back, swallow some acid, and say, well, man, pollution's gonna kill us anyway.
See, when I'm on acid, I see music break down into individual components. Tiny colors and miniature shapes. But when I'm on acid, I never listen to music like this. And this music on this drug, it's not about miniature fractals, but galactic holes. The sound is complete. Like it was designed for me, for this night, for this moment. Right here, right now, there's no other place I'd rather be. Unrelenting circle of sound. Unrelenting circle of sound.
Now, so far, are these visual things the only effects you find? What other effects?
Everything's colour. Everything, you know, it's all to do with colour. It's all to do with round, with shape. Oh, it must be to do with orange. Not only with orange. Oh, I haven't seen colour. I live in a monochromatic world.
Colours are what keep me alive.
Before. One begins to see significance in things that you didn't see before. Many people become aware of a quite different world.
The American military were also experimenting with LSD as a potential weapon.
Here is a group of normal soldiers responding correctly to a series of routine drill commands. After receiving a small dose of LSD, they're confused and undisciplined.
The idea was to spray the drug on enemy troops. The dose, however, proved rather difficult to control. And there was a different kind of fallout from these experiments, one that took the Army and the CIA entirely by surprise.
Constructive action was still attempted by those retaining a sense of responsibility in spite of physical symptoms. But 1 hour and 10 minutes after taking the drug, with one man climbing a tree to feed the birds, the troop commander gave up, admitting that he could no longer control himself or his men. He himself then relapsed into laughter.
Suspected of giving her the LSD, moved out of town immediately after her suicide. Yes, this is Alice Trenton, a mental vegetable. For this Alice, there was no looking glass to come back through. This was no fairy tale. This Alice had gone on a long, long trip to Acid Land, never to return.
I look out at the world through sightless eyes. I think with a senseless brain. I sail a sea of hopelessness upon a ship of pain. I walk life's streets on aimless feet and reach out cold white hands. I answer questions people ask, but no one understands. I talk in mindless riddles, and I search to find life's key. Steal to keep my need alive as it devours me. Oh, but I've paid the price of wealth and boredom with a life that was given me. 'Cause I live in a house on Nowhere Street, in a town called LSD.